Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network. We always joke because I always do a bad job of stepping on Corey coming out of the breaks. And this is the one time when Pete always does it. I'm looking at Corey like, hey, man, you can say something? Or like, oh, yeah, no, it's my turn.
Yeah, good on you for being so patient.
I'm used to sitting in the Corey chair. Well, we're having a great time here this morning, talking fun. As you heard, Pete Gray out of the studio today, having some family time in a very cold and chilly place, but I know he's listening and having a great time, and happy Thanksgiving to Pete and the fam back east. But boy, what a great show today has been, in the sun and the fun, and we're talking something that is near and dear to my heart, and boy, I know everybody out there, that's surface iron fishing, and two of the absolute greats doing it with us today, Corey.
Pete's dreaming about it as a lake effect snows just creeping across, and we've got 75 degree weather here. It's beautiful, and having a great time with Jerry from JRI and Danny Wade, the man. Been the man for many, many decades, and it's an honor to have him in studio. And if you want to join us, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. The line's been busy. The texts have been coming through, and giving away an awesome JRI package at the end of the show, too.
Yeah, that brand-new depth charge we talked about, a bunch of great jigs from JRI, and, man, just what a cool prize pack, Jerry. That was very gracious of you, and we're really excited and stoked to get to do it. And, hey, speaking of being stoked, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It is time for the Catch Report, which is sponsored today by Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is the place to fill up your car, your truck, or your boat with the lowest in gas and diesel prices. Did you know that Summit is also the place to get the lowest prices on ice and snacks for your trip? 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice. Let me read that again.
That's crazy.
25 cents for a 5-pound bag of ice, or $3.99 for a 25-pounder. That's as many as you want. Not a 20-pound bag like most places, but a 25-pound bag for $3.99. That's half the price of most of the others. Plus, you get 100 pounds of free ice with a 35-gallon fill. Kirkland products at lower prices in the store that makes them. Dozens of snacks at lower than 89 cents and more at Summit Gasoline. Free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always the low prices at the San Diego Sports Arena. We got them standing by, our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wiss, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Corey, Danny, Jerry. Way too much fun for you guys this morning. What a great show.
We are.
Love it.
Good time in here.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, we're hoping everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and now with the holiday behind us and the weather forecast, I mean, it's got to be as good as it gets for this time of year. It's definitely time to go fishing here. So up north, a lot of squid at the islands up there. And with the nice weather, the guys are going to get a chance to look around and see if they sniff out some sea bass and yellows up there this weekend. And then at Nick and SBI on the outside, very little coverage here recently. What has been out there has been looking at the bottom fish. No reports of exotics in quite some time. Catalina, a lot of boats over there for the holiday weekend. And more than a few had lobster to go along with the turkey. Hoopin's been really good at the island here this year. And as the fishing, flat calm weather makes it really easy to fish that halibut up shallow. The halibut fishing's been good already. In the last couple winters, it's just been stellar. So this the way the conditions are right now, it's really easy to fish that fish in 20 to 40 feet of water. The bottom fishing on the hard bottom southwest of the west end there has been really steady, nice percentage of good-sized red snappers out there. And then locally, all the bottom fish are biting really well. The white fishing's sculpin' up shallow. A few sand bass, not too much. Reds and lings out deeper on the live squid. And with the squid local, a lot of us being caught right off of Cabrillo right there. You guys want a shot at a local sea bass? Point Firman Reef is a longtime favorite of mine this time of year. If you get the uphill conditions, which we've had, you set up on the outside rock in 8 fathoms and fly line a squid back into that. And if you do hook a fish, there's usually a lot of lobster traps around there, so you kind of got to be proactive. Sometimes you got to slack off the anchor, back the boat up so you can get undone from the lobster traps. But, man, we've got some really good sea bass fishing at this time of year in that location there. And then on the outside, no reports since last weekend. You guys caught some yellows, caught some bluefin. And but with the conditions we've got, I just looked at the weather a little bit ago. The buoy outside the Tanner, 3 feet at 8 seconds and 4 knots of wind. That's as nice as it gets for out there. And there are some boats out there, so I'm sure we're going to get some reports. And hopefully they find them biting yellows and a few bluefin to go along with them. So that's this week's report. Time to go fishing, guys.
I like it, Mark. Great report, as always. Excellent info. If you want to keep up on that Fish Dope info, you can always do so using the code HOOKUPNOW. It saves you $30. All lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW saves you $30 on that new membership. And, Mark, somebody wants to keep in touch with you, get the best bait tank on the market, or just all the great knowledge and info and gear at Pacific Edge, how do we find you?
Ricky, we're on a corner of Boca Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And I'm going to sit back and sip my coffee and listen to more of this jig fishing stuff you guys are talking about. What a great show.
That's awesome, Mark. Appreciate it very much, buddy. Talk to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for Marcos, why don't we snag a phone call there, Corey?
Let's do it, Rick. How about Sean? Sean calling from Lomita. Good morning, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, all you guys.
You too, bud.
And thanks a lot for, I'm thankful for this show, getting all this information. It's another class about surface iron. Anyway, sorry, I'm on my walk. I was just wondering about retrieve. When you're retrieving jigs, surface irons, do you go with different speeds for different jigs? Or is there one consistent way to retrieve them?
Depends on the jig, depends on the current, depends on the swell, depends on a lot of things.
And it could be different, even if you have 10 of the same jigs,
You got to figure out the jig you're fishing with, and you got to make it work. Again, you know, like I've said before, I could hand you the best swimming jig you will ever own, but if you don't fish it properly, you still don't get a bait. It's a learning curve. There is no one set speed, no one set retrieve, no one this or that. It's a learning curve, and you got to take the time and figure it out. Nobody can tell you to turn a handle this many times in the course of 30 seconds.
Sure,
it just doesn't work. You know.
What are the attributes that we're looking for in knowing that we achieved the right speed with a jig?
Or equally as important, the negative attributes, right?
Like Well, going back to that also is you know what your gear ratio of your reel is is you know that's another factor.
Right.
You know, we got to look back to
Danny can be fishing a 4-to-1, you a 5-to-1, and Corey a 6-to-1 sitting right next to each other.
Absolutely.
And that makes a huge difference.
There's a lot and size of spool.
See, right.
That's where the low profile reel has its disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can have a 6-to-1. Say you've got three reels that are 6-to-1. You've got a Torium 20. Pick one, whatever. Something else is 6-to-1, but basically the same size, and you got a 400 whatever in a low profile. They're all turning the spool at the same amount of times.
Each one, the handle goes around one time, the spool spins 6 times.
Right, but the line retrieve ratio is so much different because the small bait caster is a little tiny spool.
Yeah, if a golf ball spins around 6 times or a tennis ball spins around 6 times,
it doesn't doesn't pick up as much as a basketball.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's where the difference really comes in. So your jig. You want your jig to stay in the water. You want it to have these 3 or 4 or 5 kicks, you know, sharp kicks, and then it's going to kick off to the side, and it's going to just, and it'll even pull harder, you know, and that's what you're looking for, but. The retrieve will depend on your reel, depend on the length of your rod. You make a long cast, you got your rod pointed straight at it. As you wind that jig, gets closer to the boat, you drop your rod tip. So that changes dynamics. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, but there is no, yes or no answer.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe 30 years ago that maybe would have been a more consistent, because most reels like your Penn 500 have your standard spool size.
Yeah. It was all the same.
So I kind of look to, like, what would be the modern version today of like a Penn 500? We talk about the Trinidad 20. For me, like the Accurate Turn 2 500.
That's what I use. Yeah. 90% of
that. Exactly. And that's, I think, going back to your standard kind of old school.
But it's that same. That's the same size 20 reel.
Yeah, right.
Same size 20 reel. Obviously, just a beefier version, tricked out, you know, with all the modern latest greatest.
What's cool about the insides of those, they look amazingly similar to like a very heavy duty version of a Newell. You know, like they're very similar components to what a Newell was, just the modern beefy.
I mean, Newell, when you know, he started out making components first, that's what Carl started out. He was actually, he was a plastics guy, you know. I mean, he made like cover boards for, you know, typewriters and whatnot, but he liked fishing. And when he came out with his first reel, which the gear ratio was 5-1, I mean, that was just
revolutionary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what is the world coming to? You know.
And that big old power handle, Well, I mean, it's in today's world.
At that time, it was. Yeah.
Real quick, too, and I don't want to get into the wind too far, but Corey, you made a great point. What is a negative part of it? Like, what, you know, when you're making a cash in here on the negative side of things, like, what are you looking for to avoid? Or if you start doing X, you need to stop, because that's something we don't want to have happen.
So for me, I think it's obviously if let's say you're winding too fast, right? That jig is just, it's just winding and, you know, it's just wiggling versus swimming it and seeing the action.
Doesn't have that kick out that Danny was talking about.
Exactly. So along the lines is focusing and paying attention to what your retrieve speed is. I think a lot of times, you know, we get so jacked up in that adrenaline.
Sure.
You may, like, 10 minutes ago, you got that constant, that retrieve going. All of a sudden, once things start blowing up, before you know it, you're not even knowing. You're just focused, you know, got that tunnel vision going.
Totally.
And you're, like, winding twice as fast without even knowing it. So it's being very consistent. And because you may be like, why the heck am I not catching anything? You know, I'm throwing my jig, everything's looking good, but you know what? It's just that nuance of
being fired up.
Yeah, you just gotta focus and just be consistent and look at your hand of what you're doing, because just that little thing might be enough to the difference of you hooking up and the guy next to you.
I love it.
I'm thinking about today's era, Danny, and today's era, like. Compared to 30 years ago, you had the traditional Taddy 45.
Mm-hmm.
Within that Taddy 45, there were so many variations.
Oh, God, yeah.
There were pointed noses, flat noses,
flat backs.
Yeah.
There are 9 different jigs on the pattern board, on the original pattern board.
Yeah.
Out of those nine, there were 3 variations of each.
There were
20 something.
There were 5 blunt nose and 4 pointed nose.
Yeah,
I've seen all that stuff.
Then you had the rounded up top and then the flat at the bottom.
Yeah,
you know, you had all that. So, I mean, imagine if I changed the stinger 9 different times.
Right, but that's
oh my God.
That's what's going too.
But that's what's going through my head. Like, today's angler can go get a JRI or another local custom jig, and it's nearly 100% every single time.
The jig is only as good as the person that uses it.
Bingo.
You know, and that's not to take away from anybody that's making a lure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the knowledge you have, Danny, and the knowledge you have, Jerry, is something that comes with time on the water.
Exactly.
And it's hard to, it's so difficult to be able to voice that and explain and teach that. It's just.
You're not going to learn it by looking at YouTube.
Or reading it.
You got to get your ass on the water.
Yeah.
Pardon my friend, you got to get on the water. You got to put your time in. You got to learn how to do it and to make it work. That speaking of, I said bringing up this subject.
Yeah, perfect.
This seems like a good time. We're myself, anybody that knows Tony Bangos. With CCA and so on.
Formerly the Grande, now working with CCA.
I was talking to her about, why aren't there more women that do the surface iron thing? Nobody's got an answer.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can't do it. You don't have to be big and bad.
Yeah.
And you don't. I mean, look at Stinger. He was barely 5 foot tall. Look at Tony. She's 5 foot on a good day. Robin, same thing. She's just a little tiny thing. They can all pick up a long rod and make it work just as well as anybody. And so we're doing a deal. It'll come after the first of the year sometime when you'll actually be able to get into it. But, you know, an instructional, probably half or three-quarter day. I don't know what boat, you know. That's kind of Tony's department. But I'll be on a thing, doing a seminar about introducing women to surface iron fishing. You know, if you want to bring your husband or boyfriend, so be it. You know, it's not like exclusively women only.
Yeah, but that's catering. The idea.
But yeah. And I can give the how-to and do this and so on. But Tony's going to be on a rig as well, and she, you know, hey, look at me, I do this.
Yeah, and from a gal's point of view. But
yeah, and from a woman's point of view. I don't understand why there are not more women doing this. Look at the excitement you get out of just us four here, and your eyes light up, and your heart starts pumping.
Fires me.
I want to go
and
right
all,
this
it's
second.
All about surface iron fishing.
Yeah.
There is no better way to catch a bass or a yellowtail or anything of that nature than it is on a surface iron.
Well, I can think of a way to catch a bass in a better way.
There's always
got to
be one guy in the
bunch. Let's continue on with our catch report. Go to a spot that I know a whole lot of you like, and that's over at C4 Sport Fishing. We got Marcos standing by. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Great, buddy. Good morning.
Well, we talked about the San Diego starting at 7-4, and they picked away last couple weeks here, catching 1-2 yellowtail here, there. Finally paid off yesterday, 13 yellowtail on the San Diego to go with some good bottom fishing.
Cool.
So it looks like that's pretty good for some local yellowtail fishing, exactly what we're kind of what we're expecting out of those 7-4 trips when they go out there and they can put in the time, catch some yellowtail, catch some other fish in there. The C4 actually had a yellowtail in the afternoon also, so it looks like they made a good showing. Overall, those half-day trips, very good deep water fishing in the morning there and reds and rockfish. Nice mix of fish in the afternoon, whitefish, sheephead, bass, like I said, 1 yellowtail yesterday. And as long as weather holds steady, we're going to keep going out there, and hopefully we're going to see more of those yellowtail. Both boats are back out there today. Check the website, c4thlanding.com, for those half-day trips. We're still running those morning and afternoon trips right now on the new C4th. San Diego running those 7-4, so they have lots of options there. For those longer trips, the Tribute still has all those weekend day and a half trips scheduled here. Said starting next year they'll be running some of those call net trips. So lots of options for you guys. Check out the website there. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out, get you out there fishing. Like I said, not a long report, but a pretty good report there. You know, both trips we're fishing consistently are doing really well. So check the website, give us a call, come down, visit us in person, time to do some Christmas shopping, get some gift cards, get some stuff for yourself for Christmas. Why not, right?
Yeah, you know, you talked about 13 fish not only being a great day, but, you know, Danny mentioned before, too, the grade of fish that those guys got in the San Diego was super nice, you know, really nice big yellows. And let's not forget that tomorrow's December. I mean, we'll take that
right.
Local trip anyway.
Exactly. And like we've talked about before, I mean, you know, 15 years ago, 13 yellowtail on that Coronado Island trips would have been, you know, season making. And now it's like, you know, local trip going out there and catching the same thing.
I think that that's just such a great call that those guys did doing that local trip. It's winter time. It's a greatly reduced ticket price. It introduces you to the brand of fishing that the San Diego is known for, you know, the great service and the great fishing and all that. What a cool trip. One more time, if somebody wants to book one of those, Marcos, how do we do it?
Check the website, c4thlanding.com. We've got our schedules up there for all the boats for those half days, the full days, a day and a half. Whale watching is actually really good right now. Like we said, if you have people visiting that might not want to spend the whole day on the water fishing but just want to check out and see what it's like out there, very good whale watching, so that's always an option. Just call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out, answer any questions, get you set up, and get you out there.
Right on. Great job, Marcos. Appreciate it very much. Hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then, guys.
All right, and that's brought to us by the Fish Pros at Fishman's Processing in San Diego, where you get your premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishmansprocessing.com and make those reservations today. today.
Thought this would be a fun text. Says, Jerry, where and how did you get your start in making jigs? I always look forward to this show. So stoked to have Danny in here sharing his knowledge and what he has to say about fishing the lure. It's my favorite way to catch a yellowtail. Thanks for everything you both do, Stephen and Mission Viejo.
All right. Hey, Steve. God, where do I start? I'll try to condense it here as fast as I can. It all started, it was a hobby turned business. It was never meant to be a business. It was something, you know, the old adage, if you want it done right, do it yourself. So back in the day, I remember Danny Wade seeing him. He didn't know who I was at the time. I mean, you know, I collected old jigs. I would see the jigs he was fishing. I was like, oh, you know, I was paying all this money for these old jigs, you know, like, you know, old bartenders were like $200 and all that stuff like that. And I'm like, why, you know, this jig is like 50 plus years old. I mean, this was like 20 years ago or whenever it was. So I started kind of just, you know, my mind started going in like, well, you know, why can't we make a jig, you know, better mousetrap today? And so what I did was kind of look at the methodology of how these older jigs that were, you know, has stood the test of time was happening, and I decided to do it on my own. And so back then, I mean, I was fishing, God, I think there was 1 year when I was living here in San Diego, I was on the San Diego like 75 days on the water. Like, I mean, so Booger and I were tight, and I Booger's dad, Jim Boston, you know, I'd see him there every day, you know, loading up the boat and stuff. And I started casting my own jigs. At first, I started painting them, you know, back when the color shifting paints were kind of cool. And actually, I'll backtrack a little. I was at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. That's where it all started. I was at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is probably the best aquarium out there. And I'm sitting under the anchovy exhibit. I don't know if you guys have been there. And it's this dome. It's like up on the ceiling. It's a dome. And you see these anchovies just going in circles. Or no, they're sardines. Excuse me, sardines. And I'm like, these sardines don't look like the sardines that are in our bait tanks, you know, down south. So I asked one of the people there, I'm like, hey, is this the same sardine that's down south? And they're like, oh, yeah, it is. I'm like, well, why are these all silver and the ones down south are like got the green backs with the little dots? And I'm like, oh, because they're stressed. I didn't realize bait fish change color. And there's an anchovy exhibit as well. And they're all silver with a pink, you know, tint to it. So I started mimicking the color shifting paints way back when. And then I started getting into making my own jigs. And then next thing you know, we're catching fish on my jigs. And, you know, I'm handing them to, like, Booger and, you know, the deckhands. And they're like, dude, we're catching fish. And it was just kind of like this little secret. I'm like, oh, no big deal. And then it was a good friend, Jim Boston's good friend, Jim Kastorf, who makes great custom rods. Hey, Jim, if you're listening, great guy. He taught me how to weld rings. And so from there, he knew or met Luke at Angler's Choice and probably gave a couple of my jigs to Luke. And that's kind of how it all started. So Luke over at Angler's Choice was my first customer. He had me for like the first 3 years. I couldn't keep up the demand. I mean, it was just a one-man band. And, you know, basically I just reinvested the money. And to the point now that, you know, we have our own foundry. We produce everything. And, yeah, and
that's an
here
awesome
we are.
Story.
Yeah,
incredible story. That's really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Getting to that pink hue on an anchovy, this is probably something most people have no idea, but Taddy for years and years used a pink primer.
Oh, okay.
No kidding.
Very interesting.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool. It reminds me, you know, similar to the, you know, story of you, Corey, like, you know, you've spent a lifetime looking at bait and seeing, you know, and like just that flash bulb, whatever it is, goes off like, you know.
I almost felt offended, man. He was kind of talking about the Everingham bait like it wasn't good.
I like it. Let's jump into the phone, Corey.
It's all good stuff, Jerry. How about Rich and Beth Bradley?
What's
good morning,
up,
Rich?
Hi, guys.
Rich. Good morning, buddy.
You know, you talk. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Danny made a really good point about the turn birds. And up here where I fish, next to Bradley is Lake San Antonio. We used to have a whole lot of stripers in there. They died off in 2017. And I fished it for quite a while. And one of the things that it took me quite a while to learn was the turns were the key to finding the fish. It wasn't the seagulls. It wasn't the pelicans. And they all hung out around the lake. But when I found the turns, it was like the hair stood up on my arms.
No matter where you go. I mean, Brandon, the guy that runs the Premier, he's big time into bass fishing. He's been fishing Otay back in Harvey's Arm. I know that shad gets up in there. It's all on turnbirds. You know, it's all on turned birds. You know, the seagulls are there, but when the bass come up, they spread that bait up a little bit, and the turned birds are all over it.
And it's the same thing like reading the yellowtail, right? Like there could be 100 turns, but it's just those one or two that are 100 yards off to the side acting differently.
A lot of times it's
same thing on a lake.
You can be in South Dakota. It doesn't matter. I mean, birds fly wherever they want to. People ask, well, why do I see seagulls in Nebraska? Well, that's where they go to nest.
Yeah.
They go back to the Midwest to lay their eggs, you know, and then they can fly back out here. But tern birds are an amazing creature, you know. Pay attention.
What's so rad and then frustrating at the same time with those things is like they can be on you, and especially offshore, it's gray, and you know that bird can just disappear at the same time. You know, you're watching, following, and you see him following, and like, man, that bird turns a different direction, and it's just gone. Yeah.
But in the glasses, they also just appear too.
Oh, 100%, man, 100%. Like, am I seeing that right? Like, you blink your eyes, like, oh yeah, no, that's it, that's them. Go, go, go. Yeah. Hey, I had another real fun text this morning. It says, good morning, guys. Nothing beats this surface iron talk. My first JRI jig came out of a pile of kelp that I found on the beach after a surf session in PB. Wow. To this day, it's my best swimming jig, and I've caught lots of yellowtail and bass on it. It was sanded down to a dull aluminum finish from rolling around in the surf. Needless to say, I've purchased a bunch more since then. They're my favorite lure. Thanks for making a great product from Rory and Lakeside.
What a
cool story. Yeah, I love that.
Wow.
That's a good one, Jerry.
Yeah, that's a feel-good moment. Yeah. Right there.
But that's also a test to the, here we go again. What's the best color?
Yeah.
Well, for him, apparently it's aluminum.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
That's original color, right?
That's all they ever used to be back in the original days.
That was it. They were just aluminum.
They weren't painted. Yeah.
That's some good stuff, man. Hey, we're going to be right back with more good stuff and your calls when we return on Let's Talk a Kebab and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Bizzano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available. Or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the Earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water, the culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life, to achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide, rule the water.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surge of Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at SurgeofSportFishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's SurgeofSportFishing.com. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
All right. right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, man, all this jig talk and bait talk and just having a great time. And
dude, I want to catch a yellowtail right now so freaking bad.
I know.
Go to La Jolla.
I know. I got no excuse, man. Yeah. They're biting. It was 13 yesterday in the San Diego.
Dude.
I'm into it.
December tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, how cool is that?
Like you mentioned, man. That's
You look outside like this is why it costs so much to live here. This is why I get so frustrated with fuel. This is why I get so frustrated with traffic. Like,
there's some of us
it's just worth it, man.
There's some of us that have to leave this to go to Cleveland.
Oh, what are you doing right
28
now? You know he's listening. Like, what are you doing? What are you?
But to come back and realize why it's so expensive here.
Yeah, yeah, right. No doubt, man.
I'll take it.
Gonna jump on that Steiger, go catch a yellowtail this week.
Right? Yeah. I know it.
Well, hey, we're having a great time, man, and we would love to have you join us. It's been a busy morning, Corey.
It has. It truly has. And there's still time to get in, man. If you want to give us a call, 213-432-1090, or you can send us a text via the app and giving away a cool JRI assortment.
Yeah,
man.
No doubt, buddy. Well, the phone lines are absolutely packed. I mean, we have every single phone line full. It's been a busy morning, but we're going to be getting your phone calls. Keep going. We're going to get you through. Let's grab a phone call, Corey.
Let's do it, Alex. Alex from San Carlos. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. You guys pretty much answered all my questions, but I'll just share, like, a surface iron story. Probably, like, 35 years ago, first time I ever actually, like, fished surface iron. I was with my family down in Santa Tomas. My grandpa, my dad, aunts and uncles were all in these like little pungas. And on the way back, we saw a bunch of birds, and we just loaded up the ice chest with barracuda. And like, I've never done anything like that. And it was the funnest thing in the world. And we all used, they're like Hattie 45s, but you don't see too many of those people use them anymore. But it was like the chrome green Mac and the chrome blue Mac. And it honestly, that experience is like what really got me hooked into fishing. And surprisingly, I actually still have those surface irons. I fish them all the time. They're like my favorite surface irons. I make sure to double, triple check my knots on those because I just never want to lose those. But yeah,
don't lose that.
Well, that's the thing that people don't do. They you see guys get excited. They hang a fish. Maybe they catch two on it. They don't check the knot. They don't check the line for chasing, gaff chasing.
Especially with barracuda.
But you know, even like just the gaff itself.
Yeah.
Your line gets wrapped around a gaff and it chafes your line. You know. Yeah. You got to check the knot. You got to check the chafing. You know, check that 4 or 5 feet from the knot on up and make sure it's nice and smooth.
You guys both mentioned fishing with mono. What size line do you like to cast?
40 pound.
40 pound.
Yeah, I'm a 40-pound Iser line.
It flies off the reel easy.
Yeah.
If you get lighter, I mean, technically, if you want to get real technical, 30 pound probably make your jig work a little bit better. But it doesn't cast as well because it falls into the cracks. Yeah. 40-pound flies off a reel. It's a little more user-friendly, especially when you get into, you know, the sea lion issue.
Sure.
You get a shot of getting a fish on a boat you wouldn't have done on lighter line. And you get into 50-pound, it doesn't cast as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the 40-pound is just a happy medium.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's great. And then remember, you know, today's technology, I mean, this copolymer stuff now is, you know, 40-pound is probably realistically 48, maybe even 50-pound. So
sure.
With a great knot, you know, you're, I mean, God, we've caught 40-pound yellowtail on bait and on the surface iron down south. So I've seen, you know, it's amazing. So 40-pound for me.
And Dan, you mentioned it earlier too, with a true surface iron rod, try to break 40-pound.
Yeah,
try to break 40-pound with a bend in the rod. You can't do it. Yeah,
can't do it.
Yeah, that's a great.
You got to point it at it and put your thumb on it.
Yep. That's a good call. Hey, this was a fun text came through, and good call, Alex. Thanks very much. Says, good morning, guys. Question for Danny and Jerry. As experts in surface iron fishing, I'm curious what jig stick rod and reel combo you would recommend for somebody that's just starting out in surface iron fishing. That's from Brian in San Diego.
I would do something between, say, 8.5 and 10 feet. Again, it's up to you, you know. I'm a 10-foot guy, you know, and I got this thing going with, you know, Fishing Syndicate, the Danny Wade Special, and that's a 10-foot S-class. Thing's 20% lighter, cast like a dream, but it's not for everybody, you know. It's not, none of them are for everybody. You got to find your own happy medium.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever rod and reel it may be, as long as you're good with it, Doesn't matter what somebody else says.
Do you have that rod at HM?
Not yet.
Okay. Still in the development process.
Materials and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, I've...
But come showtime, maybe, like PCS show?
I'm going to think even sometime after the first of the year.
Okay.
I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, I think that's where your local tackle shops come into play. Mm-hmm. You know, a good tackle shop's going to have a variety of rods and reels out there. And you just got to tug on them. I mean, we're all built different. I mean, Danny, what, you're 6'4", 6'3"? How tall are you?
I'm 6'6", on a good standing.
I'm 6 feet minus, 0.1 inches, right? So we're all different. And, you might like a glass. You might like a carbon fiber. So just go out there and feel it. And, something what we're doing, we do a bunch of sponsored trips throughout the year. I've got a ton of rods, Calstar, Seekers, you name it. I'm bringing these as demo rods.
Oh, that's cool.
So Ben over at Accurate has been very kind enough. We're going to be doing some demo reel stuff as well. So we're gonna attach these turn two reels on these rods so people could.
That's a great idea.
So every time we go out on a sponsor trip, we're going to bring a variety of rods so people can test and see exactly what they like, because nowadays, I mean, rods aren't cheap like they used to be, so it's a big investment.
I hear at the tackle store when somebody's coming in to buy a surface iron outfit, they've been fishing for a few years, they've been going half day and three quarter day fishing, and they've casted a lure on their rods that they had, but they're finally wanting to step up and buy their dedicated surface iron outfit, there's always an intimidation on the length of rod, and I'm not ready for a 10-foot rod. Is there any difference in skill set to the difference between casting an 8-foot versus 9-foot versus 10-foot?
Not in my opinion, it's all the same. You still got to look behind you. Mm-hmm. Still got to make a cast. You still got to keep your thumb on spool. It's easier to get that extra 20 feet or 30 feet on a 10-foot rod than it is on an 8-foot rod. And for me, it's all about effort.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on a boat all day. Depending on how it is, you might make 300 casts,
mm-hmm.
give or take. You might make 100 casts. But you still got to make that same cast the same way all the time, to be proficient. You might have to alter it because somebody's rod's in the way or something like that, but whatever. But still, it's what you're comfortable with, So you got to figure out what it is. I got a buddy of mine, Craig Namora, who I've known for quite a while, fishes an 8-foot rod. He does just as well as anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what he's comfortable with. Yeah. I said, why don't you get something longer? So I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so be it. I don't like using a 9 or an 8.5-foot rod. I like a 10-foot rod.
Yeah, my buddy Bobby Catano, for years, I've worked with him, and Surf Siren, he fishes a 6480 Calstar. That's his go-to setup.
And gets the job done.
It gets the job done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, cool. It works. And so now, you got the 9 to 10s. I'm a 9 to 10-foot guy, but what feels good and feel confident in what you're casting.
I can tell you this, though. Your buddy hooking one on an 8-foot rod is definitely much happier of a battle with a 30 or 40 pound yellow
than
Danny Wade is with his 10 foot rod.
It is.
Or is that the one you handed off?
Yeah,
it's to each their own. Totally. And it's a learning curve. Somebody might like a 100J, somebody might like a 540, somebody might like a whatever, and so on and so on,
The other variation of all this, too, is what we're talking about is mainly, primarily, sport boat fishing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You're on an anchored vessel trying to get the distance, and you're battling with 30-plus other people. Not battling, but you're trying to get that extra 20 or 30 feet over your compadres on the boat. But when you're on your own boat, a private boat...
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can do it with a shorter rod.
Yeah.
You can get the distance might only be 3 boat lengths where you're hooking a fish. It's not that bomber of a cast,
The thing about a sport boat, and anything I talk about is always based on sport boats.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I bring that up, though. I mean,
But what inherently will make you better at jig fishing is to be on a sport boat. Yeah. Because you got a guy like me or any other one who's got an understanding of this stuff. And you're sitting there making casts. Maybe you caught one, or maybe you've had a bite or something. And I'm sitting there and got 7. Why is that? I'm doing something different.
I can tell you my youth was on the Fisherman 3 with Danny Wade. I was 13, 14, 15 years old growing up with Danny Wade as my mentor.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? That's
Caterpillar yellow candy bar.
Honest to God. I mean, that was my passion in who I am today.
That's
where you learn it, on a sport boat. You know, that's where I learned it, is on a sport boat. You know?
And Tim Green, man. Yeah, he was the
same thing.
Yeah.
But you inherently... Man, I want to catch fish like that.
Sure.
Ask Matt Brawler. You know, I want to catch fish like that. I want to catch fish like that. So you start paying attention. When you're on your own boat, and you know, it's you and your buddy, and you're, especially when you're new to it, you see a yellowtail blow up. Maybe you hook one, maybe you don't. Oh, well. But if you had four other buddies on that boat and they all got one and you didn't, you start
learning.
You learn.
Totally.
And that's why I say you learn your craft on a sport boat. If you go buy your own boat after that, so be it. Knock yourself out. But you will learn your craft on a sport boat because we're all jealous of somebody catching a fish.
I was having a conversation with a customer the other day. We were talking about long ranging because, you know, we do some couple sponsored trips on the Intrepid and stuff. And he goes, you know, how do I become a good long range fisherman? I'm like, you know what it is? If you're a good half day and
much.
A good three quarter day fisherman, you're going to be an expert long range fisherman. And it just didn't click. And I'm like, no, it's what it's because it's not that you're battling with 30 guys, but you're seeing the other guy. And you want to be that guy, or like, what is he doing that I'm not? And you quickly learn. And, you know, you got that short period of time. 8 days, 10 days. You got days out in the water to fish. But half day.
And conversation, too.
And conversation as well. Absolutely.
And a half day, three quarter day regular that, you know, that goes, you know, once a week or every other week all year long has gone to the bait tank 10,000 times and looked at 10,000 sardines, and pinning a bait on without thinking about it is just natural.
Like a point of made. Remember Ralph Mickelson?
Sure.
Long range dude, you know, this and that. Put him on a half day boat. He'd be lost because it's not 50 pound and a 5-aught hook, or 130 pound and a 7-0 hook.
A lot more finesse.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just gonna say finesse fishing on half and three quarter day boats.
I was so fortunate. I mean, it's bringing back so many stories, Danny, having you across. But I would work on the bait receiver as a little kid, and I'd hop on the half day boat as they came out for bait in the afternoon. I'd spend my whole morning fishing out bait and then hop on and fish with Danny in the afternoon.
That's
man.
A good way to go, man.
I know. Bringing back memories.
That's a
man.
Good run. How about we jump back to the phones, Corey?
Let's do it. Enough of me. And how about Bruce?
Great.
Bruce from Lemon Grove.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys, man. What a good show. Last year, I picked up half a dozen DW1s, took them down to Cedros, and this is more of a testimonial. I used every one of them, and they all caught fish. Awesome. So, they're very consistent jigs.
Nice. You love them, no doubt about it. Appreciate it very much, Bruce. So how about we jump back to the phones, Corey?
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills Kong from Ventura. Good morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. Wow, what a great show. My question for Jerry and Danny is, I heard on, and I don't know if it was Corey that said it, but somebody said sometimes, you know, you can cast even a surface iron out there, and you may want to let it sink for 15 or 20 feet before you start winding it. Is that a thing?
True. Again, this will take you back to the turn bird. You see that turn bird 100 feet or 50 feet above the water. You estimate it 50 feet above the water. That fish is approximately 20 feet or 25, 30 feet below the surface of the water. And if that bird's not coming down and it's just staying there, let your surface iron sink for, you know, 20, 30 seconds.
Yep.
And you cover a little more water and you get it down to where they're staying, you know, and so you put it in their front yard and hopefully you get a bite. But it works well.
Yeah. You know, along those same lines, I've seen this happen so many times where people will get a backlash. They'll cast out, gets the backlash, and then they're picking it out, which is about maybe 20, 30 seconds, and then they start whining, boom, they get hooked up. Boom. Well, they don't realize that the thing just dropped, you know, 20, 30 sure. feet. Meanwhile, they're picking off a backlash, and they think, oh, it's just luck. But, no, sometimes that fish sure. is. It just happens. They put it right in the sweet spot.
I'm gonna let out a little secret here about areas of South Island and then the Lee, Tuna Rock, the Ribbon.
I'm taking notes.
The Smooch, if you can get to it, depending on the pens, even north end of south, inherently, when it's fishing slow, let the thing sink to the bottom.
It's that 45-degree angle line.
Yep, and just retrieve it in the same idea as you would a surface iron. See if it doesn't pay off.
There you go.
How about that?
I thought about that because I stumbled across that years ago with a backlash.
Yep, there you go. See, so, yeah.
And it, there's something to it.
Yeah.
This is like deep thoughts with Danny Wade.
Yeah, right? I like that.
Hey, any thoughts with Danny Steve, man?
Yeah, good stuff.
This is another great text. It says, good morning, guys. What's the general rule on casting surface iron in regards to how much line I let off from the tip? Is it half a rod length, the whole length? Look, my jig sticks are between 8.5 and 9 feet. I love this show. Thank you both for sharing so much knowledge. Tom and Palmdale.
I would go with not so much the length of the rod, but your very stripper guide, if you will, the guy closest to the reel. Put your jig between there and the next guide up in that ballpark, and you'll be okay. You know, you learn to use this fulcrum.
Yep.
And so you got to make your rod bend a little bit.
Key.
Yep. And that's why I prefer a glass yep. rod, because they bend, and it's effortless when you get it figured out. Yep. You know, it's absolutely. I see guys bent over the rail, foot in the air, you know, whatever it is they're doing. I stand there flat-footed.
Yep.
And ask Ben Sechrist. He was on a Malahaney with me, and he calls me the next day. I said, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah. I think also, I mean, like Ben, look at what the rod is doing.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's
the casting tool.
Yeah, we're so focused on let me see how far I can throw the jig out in the water. Like, I get it. Like, we all want to be great casters. But look at the equipment. Look at where that bend is, where that sweet spot, the fulcrum, and get that consistent bend in, and then let that rod do the work as well.
Being able to quote unquote throw harder to the guy next to you does nothing for the bend of the rod.
Exactly.
And it can absolutely be the opposite. Like
absolutely.
If you don't allow the rod to load, then it's not going to then recoil and put all that energy back into your cast.
The rod's got to bend.
Yeah.
If you want to get any distance, it's got to bend.
You watch a lot of... Oh, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's just where the glass rod comes into play. Yeah. Yeah.
You watch a lot of guys, you know, like Danny and I'm sure Jerry the same, you know, that have a moderately parabolic rod. They cast a lot slower than most people that are learning that craft, because when you're casting slower, you're just allowing that. You're allowing all the energy to load up into the rod and then unload into the lure. Mm-hmm. And if you try to whip it too fast, you get that line drive. Fast off the tip.
That's the difference between, you know, graphite and carbon fiber and so on. You know, is they have very little memory, where fiberglass has memory. That's why it
loads
it,
up.
It, that's why the jig stays behind you that extra 3/4 of a second.
Right. You know, almost a visual of that is like the 12-foot surf casting rod.
Yeah. Look at the world championship casters. You know, these guys using conventional reels.
12, 14-foot rod.
And they use a graphite section for the bottom, so it doesn't. But the casting part's all glass.
I didn't know that.
And those guys are casting 600.
Yeah. Unreal stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And they all have to stay within the same parameters. So it's not like this guy uses this special thing over here.
Right.
They all got to stay within the same parameters, you know. Fiberglass works, you know, and it's forgiving when you hook the fish as well. So
I like it. I like what Jerry said, too, about picking out a rod. You know, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, we get lucky enough at the store, like, we probably have 30 or 40 surface iron rods in there. And it's because like Jerry said, this one's glass, this one's composite, this is a little bit of both, this has E-glass, this has S-glass, and they're all a little bit different, and they all work for different people. You know,
I used Tarnells for years, and I don't really anymore because the damn things are so heavy.
Heavy in that bend. The bend is all the way to that stripper guide, like you're talking about.
The butt cap bends on a Tarnell.
But the cast is fan.
Unbelievable.
You'll gas farther the guy standing next to you.
But, you know, again, what I use now is this Fishing Syndicate. Mm-hmm. It's basically a J100, but the butt end's been scaled down a little bit, so it's easier to put a reel on and so on. And it works very, very well. But, man, that's what I use for your number 7 or a number 4 or Salus 7X or a 45 or whatever it may be. I'm using a CalStar J100, which is a lighter rod for fishing, you know, the small. You're getting into the DW1, A1s, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on, you know, whatever, 7X Juniors and all that stuff, you know. And it's just the same basic rod.
Yeah.
Structured a little tiny different. One's a little lighter tipped, one's a little heavier.
Yeah, and you look at the two, not worldly different apart, just a little bit. Little bit of componentry different. I like it. Well, hey, let's try to sneak in another, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Charlie? Charlie Cohn from La Mirada.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Pete, Rick, and guests. Great show this morning. My question lies in what is best practice in fishing the iron in the kelp force, number one? And number two, is a treble hook or a single hook more advisable for that application?
Good question.
Yeah.
Right.
So you talk kelp. I think it's going to be specific to what kelp you're working. So, again, La Jolla, you know, if you're in that kelp area, we're looking the JRI 7, but hands down for me, it's a short chain treble hook on a surface iron if you're fishing that surface iron.
You got to learn the cast in the channel.
Yeah, you got to find the lanes.
Or if there's a breeze, you know, you see a stringer of kelp.
Oh, boy.
And the breeze is coming out of slightly northwest, and that kelp is pushed down to the southeast.
I'm reading it already, Dan.
You got it. You know, I do dumb things, but, you know, I don't care. I'll cast right over the end of that stringer of kelp because the breeze blows your line down around the end of it and you come back underneath it. But you got to learn how to do that, you know. But channels, you know, fish the channels. Don't try and fish it right over the top of the kelp unless it's down 3 or 4 feet, you know.
There it is. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including finding out who's winning that hand-picked bag of JR. Corey?
I know it. We're going to be right back on the Sports Grid Radio Network and at Let's Talk Hookup.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePressi of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Gamakatsu is not just all about hooks. There's so much more, including the new Gamakatsu fillet knives. Once you try one, you'll always want more. The new tools are also very special, including the Gamakatsu braid scissors made with ceramic blades so they'll never rust. Check out the new lineup of shirts and hats, and of course, Gamakatsu fishing pliers and boxes are amazing. Gamakatsu, much more than just the best hooks. Get them at your local tackle shop or at gamakatsu.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hey, San Diego. It's the Ford Black Friday sales event. 4 days of the biggest savings on an incredible selection. From F-150, Explorer, Bronco Sport, or the all-electric Mustang Mach-E. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now through December 2nd and get great offers across the lineup of Ford trucks and SUVs. It's the Ford Black Friday sales event. And now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. But hurry, these offers absolutely end December 2nd. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and we're going to go ahead and flip the
Our prize coin. Want to do it with the honors? That's going to determine whether we have a caller or a texter today.
Texter.
Today we have a texter. Congratulations, Tom in Palmdale.
All right.
Boy, you are hooked up. Look at that pile of jigs.
Really? I'm going to put online. You got a pack of Stinger jigs.
That's awesome, Jerry.
What color is that?
Oh, this is
a dark mint.
Yeah, this is like our this might be our Detroit Diesel here. So you get Stinger jigs there. Got our new Depth Charger DRI.
Look at that hook.
I know. Custom.
No BS.
Yeah, we don't mess around. And a couple Micro Stinger keychains.
That's so rad. Nice spending time with you, Jerry.
You guys did a fantastic. This was a great show. And just, again, can't begin to thank you enough for everything. And, Danny, you're going to keep us in touch when that when the word comes out about the ladies' instructional trip?
Anybody interested in trying to do this ladies' thing, bring your husband, boyfriend, whatever. But the CCA, their Instagram, you can leave a message on there, or you can go to Tony's Instagram.
And you'll keep me in the loop, and we'll spread the word on Let's Talk Hookup, too.
Tony Bang.
You got it.
And leave her a message. She said, just come directly to me. But it's going to happen. I just can't say exactly.
I dig it.
Probably Mayor June.
Jerry, awesome job. Thank you so much. Jigs available everywhere, every tackle store. They're our favorite.